OTC is go.
Thank you, this is go.
PTC is go.
Copy, this is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety comms is go.
STU is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Brightside Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Tuesday night edition of the show, the 19th of January. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig.
We are in the final 18 hours of the Trump presidency, even as we speak.
We're in the final 18 hours of a free and just America.
I thought that's what I said.
I just said it in the literal words.
Okay.
Said it in the ambiguous words, but well, our sentiments are the same. And you know something? I just feel like crying. I mean, this election was stolen. It was wrought with fraud, deception, malfeasance, anything you can think of. And one of our greatest presidents is now being impeached by his own party because Mitch McConnell has turned into a bastard.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. Before we do, though, I want to get people up to date as to what we've got coming up on the show tonight.
Okay.
We've got a couple of great segments. You've got Compare and Contrast, the Present versus the Future.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's really a look at where we are and where we're heading.
Yeah, and where we're heading isn't good.
Yeah, this is not going to get you the Ray of Sunshine Award for blogging, I can tell you that.
No, it isn't. It has a tremendous amount of hits, you know, and I thank everyone for that. It's a dose of reality. But it was a sad piece to write. It really was, because here it is. We had the greatest president since Ronald Reagan, and his own party turned on him, and McConnell sold him out, basically, and so did Mike Pence. And it was all over that $2,000 stimulus.
Yeah. I mean, just horrible crap.
Horrible. You know,
is what we're dealing with. Now, I'm not going to get the Ray of Sunshine Award either, folks.
No, you're not either.
I'm covering In a State of Social War. Now, just so folks know, I published this on the 13th, and I wrote it a couple of days before that, and a lot has transpired since the time I wrote this and today.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a feeling when I was writing In a State of Social War that it was going to be somewhat prophetic. Turns out to be more so than I even imagined, and faster.
Yes.
You know, so yes. We've got that coming up. But let's talk about Mitch McConnell, because Mitch McConnell stood there on the floor of the Senate today and point blank, straight ahead, no holds barred, blamed President Trump for the riot at the Capitol on the 6th.
You know, isn't it funny, though, that out of the people that they're arresting and charging, those are not Trump supporters. They're BLM and Antifa.
They're BLM, Antifa, and QAnon.
QAnon. I forgot QAnon. Yeah.
Yeah.
And There are people that are not supporting Trump, yet President Trump got blamed for it. His words were not words of incitement. He said to walk down there and support our brave congressmen and women. That's not a threat. That's not inciting anything. That's a show of support. But the media and the Democrats twisted it around to make him seem like the guilty party.
Well,
this was pre-planned. This was staged. This has been planned for a while.
Obviously. And the truth is slowly beginning to trickle out regarding that very thing. But what Trump, or not Trump, but what McConnell was saying about Trump today was that the, and use your air quotes, the lie that the election was stolen is what incited people. You know, and this is what we keep hearing from the media. It's what we're hearing from the rhinos. Here's the thing. They say there's no evidence of a stolen election. But there is. You've written about
it. There's plenty of it.
I've written about it. It's mm-hmm. It's there. There's over 1,000. There's over 1,000 signed affidavits from people who saw it taking place.
Not only that. All you have to do is add up the numbers. There were more votes cast than registered voters. Right then and there, that is fraud.
Yeah, that tells you something's up. That's a red flag. You know?
Absolutely. And they don't care. They don't care. And today, Georgia certified those two loons for the Senate.
Ugh.
We are in big doo-doo, guys. Our taxes are going to go up. The pipeline that was so critical is now going to be wiped off. Not only are we going to lose the Keystone Pipeline, not only are going to we lose the pipeline, we're going to lose the adjunct industries. Thousands and thousands of people are going to lose their jobs. But hey, come on in, illegals. We're giving you free stuff for your votes.
Well, and the leader up there in Alberta, Canada, even warned Biden yesterday, don't stop this pipeline. You're going to make America less safe by making America rely more on OPEC oil.
But that's what he wants.
That's exactly what he wants. You know?
That's what he wants. You know, at one time, Biden might have tried to pass himself off as a moderate. But once he got in the seat of power, his true self shone through.
Well, I'll tell you, I might argue that point, but on a technicality.
Okay.
Because it's not really Biden's true colors that are shown through. It's Obama's third term. That is showing.
Of course.
Through.
Well, it's not going to be the third term with Biden because Biden's not going to be in office long. He's either going to be 25th Amendmented out, something will come out with Hunter that will force him out, or he's going to have one of the, you know, unfortunate accidents.
Or dementia.
Or dementia. Well, that would be the 25th Amendment.
Yeah, you're right. That would be.
And Kamala Harris is Obama's de facto third term in office.
There's no doubt. There can be absolutely no doubt about that.
None.
So really?
And all these people on our side that keep saying, oh, well, in 2022, everything will flip around. Not true. Whoever thought AOC and Ilhan Omar and those other two idiots, Presley and Rashid Tlaib, would get reelected by huge margins?
Well, I kind of saw that coming because you got to look at their districts.
Right, exactly.
You know, I mean, you just look at their districts and they're there for life.
Yeah, that's what all this gerrymandering and redistricting cause. This has been set up. This has been a plan in the works from Obama.
Well,
and people need to realize that.
You know, we're going to see a lot of things happen that you know, we didn't dream of until a year or two ago when we kind of saw the handwriting on the wall. They're gonna do everything they can to make Washington, D.C. a state.
Yes, and Puerto Rico.
And Puerto Rico, they're going to, and that is for nothing but liberal votes.
And that's for the Senate, where they will have a lock on the Senate.
Well, and it gives them more House seats, too. Mm-hmm. You know? Then look for stacking the Supreme Court.
Yep.
Because you know that's coming.
Well, there are a few Democrat senators who said they will not go along with that. Mike, what's his name? Right now, I'm very upset about tomorrow. Joe Manchin has said no way will he vote for that.
And Joe Manchin came out, I can't remember what it was, but he came out yesterday or the day before with some nonsense that I thought, well, you know, he's going off the moderate reservation and
heading
down. I can't remember. I mean, it was just, you know, this whole thing's been a blur to both of us.
Okay. And, yeah, it has.
You know, so there's all of that crap to come. You know, you look at the caravan that's coming up to our southern border.
Yeah. And, I mean, they were just waiting for this. But you know something that has me really ticked off?
What's that?
Okay. I have said since day one, I have never liked Mike Pence. There was something too phony and plastic about him. Okay, it's been proven true. He did a couple of good things during the 4 years. However, he stabbed Trump in the back when he could have at least sent these results, the electoral results, to audit. And he chose not to. And he made a mockery of what Ted Cruz was trying to do. But tomorrow at 8 a.m. in the morning is President Trump's final farewell. Okay, he's having a little ceremony before with some of the military as he boards the plane and leaves for Florida. And I am very proud to say I only live about a half an hour away from him, you know. But Trump is leaving at 8 a.m. Okay, the inauguration is at 12 p.m. Pence actually had the audacity to say he can't show up at 8 a.m. because he's attending the inauguration 4 hours later. That man is a disgrace.
I agree. So the plane with President Trump will be landing not that far from where you are. So are you going to be out there on the runway with a couple of lightsabers bringing the plane in?
I was invited to a big welcome tomorrow, but unfortunately in my condition, I can't attend.
Yeah, that's going to be a scene.
Yes.
Down there. His plane comes in and the Trump supporters are there, that's going to be a scene. It's going to be a whole different scene in Washington, D.C. at noon. Have you seen what they've done to the mall?
They have turned our nation's capital into an armed camp. The man who hid in his basement for basically, you know, 8-9 months now, you know, wants everybody there, a transfer of power. He could have done a video inauguration. Just the justices, his family, whatever. It could have been broadcast. He was so concerned about COVID and masks. What about the 25,000 troops that are there? He doesn't give a damn about them. Nor the amount of money that it costs to bring them there. Governor Abbott from Texas is furious. That he had to send his troops there. And he said he would never do that again for this group of people.
I don't blame him. I put up a post yesterday and right on it. I said states ought to be bringing their National Guard people back right now. I mean, when the Biden regime and the FBI are vetting the National Guard to find out if there's any Trump supporters in there, that's ludicrous. That's insanity. That's psychosis.
There's a political word for that. It's just escaping me now because I don't think I'm going to sleep tonight. I am so upset about this. You know, it would have been different, Craig, if Trump had really and fairly lost.
Right. It would be a whole different situation.
A different ball game. But he didn't. Joe Biden couldn't even get 100 people at a rally, and Trump got thousands and thousands every single solitary stop. And Biden won. Biden and Harris got more votes than Obama and Trump and Hillary. Please. Only an idiot would believe that.
However, getting back to my original question 5 minutes ago, have you seen what they've done to the mall? Okay.
I've seen bits and pieces.
In lieu of people, because, you know, people can't go to Washington, D.C. because of the COVID.
You mean cutouts? Cutouts?
No. Just let me get this out. It's killing me. You know, never mind that, you know, hundreds of thousands of Trump supporters showed up a couple of weeks ago. And you know, that wasn't an issue because they all came. They had a great time. You know, a few of them went over to the Capitol. A few of the malcontent idiots, you know, from Antifa and QAnon and BLM, they went over there to cause trouble. But 99% of the 200,000 or 300,000 people that showed up had a great time and went home. All right. In lieu of people, they have planted, get this, I'm not making this up, 200,000 U.S. flags on the mall. They can't have people.
For what those people have done to this country, they have no right to have an American flag there. They don't give a damn about this country. These are the people that are trying to change our constitutional republic into a socialist system. And they have the audacity to put up American flags in their honor. This gets me madder and madder by the minute.
Well, what this does is it gives a brilliant red, white, and blue pathway to the armed encampment that is the Capitol and the White House for the installation of the Republic of America's new banana republic dictator.
Yeah. And the dictator isn't Biden, folks. He ain't going to be there long.
That's right. I mean, this is going to look insane tomorrow.
Yes.
Well, we can't have people here because of the COVID. Well, there's people everywhere.
How about 25,000 American troops?
It's the only way he could get more than six people to show up for anything he does is to bring in the military.
Right.
But this is going to look absolutely insane. I mean, you're going to have this 200,000 flags all packed into the mall leading up to what is a chain-linked, walled-off, razor-wire-topped fence around the whole installation because, you know, the most popular president in American history is being inaugurated tomorrow. These are the people that would not support building a wall to protect America, but they have built an armed encampment to protect government. That is what you call a banana republic.
I did a meme about that a couple of days ago, that here it is, the Democrats, who are against walls and against fences. In fact, Biden's been talking about taking Trump's southern wall down. And what did they do? They built a wall, a fenced wall, around the Capitol.
Yeah,
this is insanity.
That's the difference between President Trump and Joe Biden. President Trump built a wall on our southern border to protect the country.
Right.
Biden has built an armed encampment around the Capitol to protect the government.
And to protect him. Him and Kamala are afraid that someone's going to try to assassinate them.
People are insane.
Yeah.
They have gone absolutely. There's a medical term for it. In fact,
that's what I was trying to think of before the term.
Well, I'll tell you what the medical term is. It's bat crap crazy.
Oh, okay.
That is the official medical term for what they're suffering from.
I heard it as bat shit crazy.
Could be that too. You know,
I mean
it could mutate into that for all we know.
I never thought in my lifetime that I would see something like this happening to my country. You know, when I think back of my family's history, and my family's been here since the early to mid 1800s, and I had relatives who fought in the Spanish-American War, World War I, World War II, and when I think that they fought to keep this country free, to protect our vote, and now it's all gone to hell?
Makes you wonder, doesn't it?
It does.
I mean, we got Katie Kirk on TV talking about the government needs to deprogram Trump supporters.
She needs to shut her mouth.
That's fascist. We've got one member of Congress talking about the fact that the National Guard is mostly white men and Trump supporters, therefore they're racist and need to be vetted because something might happen because, you know, back in the day, Indira Gandhi was assassinated by her own troops.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
We've got another congressman that came out today and talked about a congresswoman who he claims he saw giving tours, reconnaissance tours, in the Capitol a day or two ahead of the riot. Now, she said, how dare you? That's my family who came here to see me sworn in. And I haven't given any tours to anybody but my own family. Okay? There is no evidence of any reconnaissance tours taking place led by a member of Congress or anybody else. No evidence. But that's not stopping these liberal pieces of crap, these turds in the punch bowl, from spouting this nonsense in the mainstream media, echoing it like a bunch of drunken parrots.
It's beyond belief what's happening here. And the one thing I want to say, there was a, I don't want to call it a meme because it was actually a clip from an article. They are asking all who support President Trump tomorrow not to tune in, listen to, or pay attention to the inauguration. While that, in the scope of things, really means very little politically wise, it will kill the ratings of the mainstream media, and it will show our President Trump that we stand united behind him. And I know, Craig, it's part of our jobs to watch it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to watch it.
Well, but will it really kill the ratings of the mainstream media? Because my guess is the ratings are now going to be handled by Dominion.
Yeah, that's true. They can juggle them.
You know, they'll have 80 million, billion, trillion viewers tomorrow.
Yeah, sure, you know, there will.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. Well, look, we're talking about the mainstream media, right? Well, Dominion is their common core answer to everything.
That's true. Well, all I know is this Patriot ain't watching that farce of a president. He has no right to be there. He did not win the election. But I want to go back to Mitch McConnell just for a little bit.
All right.
I would like to know, did China get to him because of his Chinese wife and all her connections and his connections to China? Is that what turned him into the biggest turncoat? Or what else could it be? He cannot believe the bullshit that's coming out of his mouth now.
Somebody's got to have something on him. I mean, what an about face.
Remember how bad he's been looking? He looks like a deer caught in the headlights.
He does. And he looks terrified.
Yes.
You know? It's hard to believe this is the same Mitch McConnell who just a couple of months ago was supporting President Trump.
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden, things changed. And we know what really transpired at the Capitol. We're starting to find out exactly who was involved, mm-hmm. right? None of it leads to the crap that McConnell, the rest of the rhinos, the liberals, and the mainstream media are saying.
And I think the only way to find an answer, I think Mitch McConnell's bank account needs a forensic audit.
It's not a bad idea, because in most cases, you follow the money, you get to the bottom of it.
Exactly. Could be bribery. It could be threats. But I think there's monies tied into it somehow. But I mean, this man looks terrified. Do I feel sorry for him? Not one iota.
Now,
this man sold out not only President Trump, but the party and the country.
Here's the thing. Here's the other side of the coin. Now, you know, I think we're right to ask who's got what on McConnell.
Mm-hmm.
But there is another possibility, and that is that the Republican Party, the RNC, the mm-hmm. hierarchy, the elite there, may have put the heat on him, you know, in the fact that we can't afford to have any more of Donald J. Trump. And you've got to come out against him. You've got to be the party stalwart. You're, you know, the top-ranking guy in the Senate until tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you've got to take a hard line. You've got to make Trump the pariah in order to save the Republican Party. But see, that's a two-edged sword, because when you do that, you're alienating, I'd say, at least half of all registered Republicans.
Well, let me put it to you this way. If that was the case, half the Republican Party is going to leave.
That's what I just
said. And they're going to go independent.
Yep.
I'm going to say this. If President Trump starts a political party, I personally will go to that party.
I'm in.
I am in. Because there's no more saving this GOP under a McConnell umbrella, basically. This is not the Republican Party that I joined. This has now become a bunch of cowards and backstabbers. Cowards and backstabbers.
Yep, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. If Trump starts up his own party, if a party forms with him in mind, I'm in.
Yes.
And for any member of the Republican Party, and I'm talking about the RNC, that might be listening in tonight or might catch us on the podcast in the next day or two, a word of warning, do not, and I repeat, do not ever send me another letter asking for money or make another phone call to my phone asking for money.
Right.
Because if you do, A, you're not getting penny one, and B, you're going to get a long, loud list of my complaints.
Well, they'll hang up. They'll hang up before you have a chance to voice your complaints. this is not the Republican Party we all signed on to.
No, no, it is certainly not.
Okay, well, and you know, this is the party, or I should say was the party of Lincoln. And right now, they should hang their heads in shame. Every Republican in the hierarchy should have been there fighting this fraud of an election. They know it was stolen.
Absolutely.
And they were cowards. They cowered away. They sunk away, slunk away with their tails between their legs. And, you know, what happened to Liz Cheney in Wyoming? The party censured her because the ones that had, you know, some courage said, you went against the will of the people. You're censured. And they're working to get her out.
Good luck. I hope they do it.
Okay, that's the Republican Party that we joined. Not this McConnell backstabbing, Pence backstabbing nonsense.
Couldn't agree more. Folks, we have passed the bottom of the hour, so we got to take our little bottom of the hour break. We got a couple of great segments coming up for you a little bit later in the show, about a half an hour from now, In a State of Social War. I'll be covering that. But when we come back from this bottom of the hour break, Diane's got it with Compare and Contrast the Present versus the Future. More Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at RSPRadio1.com.
OTC is go.
Thank you, this is go.
OTC is go.
Copy us is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
We're back on Right Side Patriots. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sorey over there at the Patriot Factor. The bumper music that was there suddenly vanished.
Okay.
I have no idea.
It's a Skype thing and a Windows update thing.
Yeah, I don't know what caused that, but it was there, it was showing, and then poof, it was gone.
Okay.
Welcome back, folks, to RSPRadio1.com. We are getting through this as best we've had all sorts of technical issues over the past couple of days, folks, and you know, about 20 minutes before we took the air tonight, one of my pieces of equipment actually froze up, my voice meter, which takes our audio, both mine and Diane's, and puts it out on the air. Darn thing just froze solid. And I had to take it down, reboot it, bring it back, and oh, man.
It's probably all those Windows updates we've been having.
I wouldn't be surprised, but, you know, we've been working our way through these for the past couple of days. Skype settings not where they're supposed to be. Other pieces of equipment trying to find, you know, make their connection to Skype and everything else. Oh, it's been a nightmare. But look, we're getting through it. Okay, so, Diane, neither one of us are going to win the Sunshine Blogger Award.
No.
You know, we're not the little rays of sunshine. But these are two segments that you really need to hear. And, Diane, what you've done is you've put together an op-ed called Compare and Contrast the Present versus the Future, kind of looking at where we are and where we're heading.
Right, and the future, folks, sadly starts tomorrow. But let's start with this quote. America will never be destroyed from the outside. If we falter and lose our freedoms, it will be because we destroyed ourselves. Those were the words of our 16th president, Abraham Lincoln. And Lincoln's ominous words sadly ring true today. What with Democrat leaders and their party ilk already having attacked President Donald J. Trump and his family on a personal level, even before he actually beat Hillary Clinton, and have, since day one, tried their damnedest to undermine his presidency with lies and innuendos the mainstream media gladly helped to perpetrate. And no, these attacks will continue on even after he leaves office, as House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has promised to get Trump impeached, no matter how long it takes. But if now President-elect Joe Biden really wanted Americans to stand united as one, as he so often claims, he would tell Pelosi and her House cronies to drop this impeachment nonsense so he can, quote, build back better, his words, not mine. Build back better. What a farce those three words are, especially economically wise, as they come from the very man whose now proposed economic plan would fast-track our country towards bankruptcy, higher interest rates, higher inflation, and much higher taxes for all, most especially for the struggling middle class. A tax and overspend plan we as a nation can ill afford, typical of the Democrat socialist agenda via a wish list that sounds more like the words of Bernie Sanders and AOC than it does a wish list from a man purporting himself to be a moderate. At least he loves to play one on TV. And here let's remember that U.S. economic growth actually hit 4.2% before the nasty little now politically weaponized virus from China invaded our shores, and that Americans were far better off both economically and foreign policy wise under the leadership of Republican President Donald J. Trump than they will ever be under the leadership of Obama's ever so temporary puppet Joe Biden. In fact, not only did President Trump cut stifling business and corporate regulations, which resulted in a much lower corporate tax rate, which in turn brought foreign-based American companies back to the U.S., but that he also cut we the people's personal taxes as well. Now, on the other hand, Biden's most irresponsible of economic plans would likely result in companies fleeing back overseas, with increasing regulations being the catalyst, coupled with up to 4 million jobs being lost, thus canceling out the 4 million jobs created under President Trump, which, by the way, resulted in the highest U.S. labor participation rate ever recorded. But sadly, that participation number will soon come crashing down, as not only will Trump's all-around tax cuts become but a fond memory, but Joe Biden also plans on minimizing deductions and refunds relating to one's personal taxes. So be prepared to take home less pay week after week after week. and also becoming a fleeting memory is that under President Trump's economic plan, not only did the stock market soar to its highest numbers ever, but America saw her lowest unemployment numbers in decades, with Black and other minorities seeing their lowest unemployment numbers as well. A numbers game which, too, would be canceled out. For why seek gainful employment when Biden's plan, with all its freebies, handouts, and perks, would actually take incentives away from people's desire to work? And when those incentives are removed from any economic equation, all one is left with is even more folks, not just with their hands out, freely taking all they can get, but folks actually beholding to the government for their very survival. An ever so dangerous parasitic relationship, if there ever was one. And Craig, welcome to Socialism 101. Welcome to what would now be President Joe Biden's pork-laden version of Venezuela North.
Well, look, you make a great case when you talk about all the economic and domestic policies that President Trump put into place that gave us this just unbelievably booming economy. You know, from low unemployment to high participation rates, as you said, soaring stock market, as you said, you know, the success rate was just staggering. But there's a whole nother aspect to any presidency, and that is what happens on the world stage.
Right. And specifically on the foreign policy front, not only did foreign countries respect us and American exceptionalism once again, after 8 long years of the Obama-Biden administration that not only catered and bowed down to our enemies, but at the same time apologized for America. But our military presence from within countries seemingly locked in a cycle of endless wars was greatly downsized as President Trump started bringing our war-weary troops home. Now, Biden, on the other hand, has publicly stated that he will keep American troops in Afghanistan while he's in office, thus putting them in harm's way in a country that most decidedly doesn't want us there. And while also successful in getting NATO members to start paying their fair share regarding global defense spending, President Trump rightfully moved our U.S. embassy to Israel's forever capital of Jerusalem, much to the Democrats' chagrin. But his crowning foreign policy achievement was something many have long thought impossible, as this brave man helped broker peace treaties between the Jewish State of Israel and her now former Arab enemies, for which he's garnered at least 2 Nobel Prize nominations. And dare we forget President Trump removed us from both the Paris Climate Accord, as in the monstrosity of wasted taxpayer dollars by those kumbaya sorts who think they can control the weather, and from Obama's ever-so-dangerous Iranian nuclear deal that he and Biden were so proud of, both of which Biden says he'll sign us back onto. And then there's our southern border with Mexico, now being more secure than ever, with over 450 miles of new wall or improved fencing, coupled with illegal crossing numbers taking a nosedive down, while Biden and those loyal to him want those walls actually being removed. But of course they do, as it helps to garner more illegal Democrat Party votes. And all the good things cited above were done in but one term, as President Donald J. Trump brought back not only pride in America herself, but in American ingenuity and the aforementioned American exceptionalism, all of which can be seen in his Warp Speed medical program that got a COVID vaccine to market in under a year. And what did the previous administration bring to our country that the new administration has pledged to continue on with, but for America to be turned into a socialist nation? And Craig, that comes replete with so-called identity politics being the fuel thrown on the pyre of partisan-driven hate, courtesy of one former president's words and actions that were the catalyst for the violent renewal of self-perceived racism that for the most part no longer existed in our nation, contrary to what the BLM sorts say.
Well, and of course, I think that probably leaves us with what we're seeing today and a lot of what I'm going to be talking about in just a little bit on this show. But you go into it in a very different way, and I'm talking, of course, about the psychosis that is the cancel culture and political correctness.
So, you know, here, guys, let's not forget that political correctness will also stay the mandated order of the day under a Biden-Harris administration, with political correctness actually being what is in reality one-sided censorship morphed to the nth degree. Censorship aided not only by the media, but by the thought police known as Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And the cancel culture movement, an ignoble movement which started making waves by tearing down or defacing statues of American heroes, foolishly still believe that removing a piece of stone and plaster will erase American history. That will soon be dictating to us what exactly can become a part of our nation's history and what simply cannot. And know that reparations for folks who themselves were never slaves will now, under a Biden-Harris administration, become an integral part of our nation's newly partisan decided history. And it's simply payback Democrats owe for the still huge percentage of black votes garnered. And firearm ownership will become our personal well-kept secret for the all-important Second Amendment, the very amendment our founders and framers wrote into the Constitution to assure a restraint was put on the power of the government to interfere in our personal lives, will most assuredly see the Democrats trying to place it on the ever-proverbial chopping block. And whether the Democrats are or are not successful in taking away our guns remains to be seen. But know that the old adage, behind every blade of grass, has now taken on new and ever critical meaning. But even if the Second Amendment does stand as is, know that aggressive gun control measures as well as implementation will become a law not unlike an athlete super hyped up on steroids. And while the picture of compare and contrast that I've painted with carefully chosen words seems bleak, especially with the House voting to impeach President Trump for a record second time, ensuring that he will remain at the center of partisan debate and political discourse long after he leaves office, the only saving grace, if you will, is that in the end, I do fully believe that President Trump will not only have the last laugh, but that history will be kind and herald not only his deep love of country, but his many achievements done on behalf of we, the American people. And I also believe that not too long from now, President Donald J. Trump will be proven right about the election being stolen, and that many will be forced to pay the price for what they've done, as history also does have a way of righting grievous wrongs. But until that time comes, be prepared for yet another 4, if not 8, long years of hell, especially knowing that Joe Biden was never intended to be president for very long. He's just a placeholder for Kamala Harris, being Barack Hussein Obama's de facto third term in office. And while this means that America might indeed have a long and hard road back to what are our constitutionally granted freedoms and rights, know that more times than not, freedom's quest is indeed something worth fighting and, if need be, dying for. True patriots know this well. And to that, I say, amen.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, we're heading into a very bleak period, I think, in American history, and you have certainly done a good job of outlining that. I mean, when you consider the starting point that Biden has and how fast he intends to destroy the great starting point he's been handed on a silver platter. There is no reason to do that unless you're 100% in favor of socialism.
Exactly. And I want you to know, guys, this all boils down to the virus. Until the virus, the Chinese virus, came to our shores, there was nobody that could have beat Trump. The Democrats turned the virus into a weapon, and they successfully used it. And they used the weapon as a diversion, the COVID diversion. We might have caught on to Dominion before then if we all hadn't been diverted to this virus. And I'm not saying, you know, like I've said before, that the virus isn't serious. It is. Nobody's making light of that. But they took an illness and weaponized it into a political weapon. And that's what took Trump down, coupled, of course, with Dominion.
Well, Dominion, you know, the virus, the lies.
Traitors in his midst.
The propaganda, the rhinos, the traitors. I mean, you know, this is the swamp. You know, this is the essence of the swamp. And, you know, the fact is they couldn't stand none of them, not even those that are the rhinos, the RNC loyalists. They couldn't stand to see a guy come from outside the Beltway and get the job done.
Right.
I mean, we're talking about career politicians like Mitch McConnell. You know, these are people that have been there forever, and they couldn't get crap done. And along comes Donald Trump, and in 4 years, takes an absolute disaster of an economy, an absolute disaster of a foreign policy that was steeped and coddled for 8 long years under the Obama regime, and completely turns it around.
Well, not only that, you have to remember Joe Biden has been in the government for 47 years and has accomplished not a goddamn thing.
You're right. And of course, he was part of the Obama regime. You know, he was part of what made it stink for 8 years.
Yeah, a big part.
You know, now, you know, right now, you know, 81 million people voted for Biden. You know, they love Biden, 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 Biden. I wonder how many of those people, how many of the claimed votes, those people, wonder what they're going to think in a few short months when gasoline prices are up around $5 a gallon and a loaf of bread is about $5 a loaf.
Yeah, and toilet paper, you know, we're going to be running again for. And your taxes, folks, are going up big time.
Well, and if he gets his way on this $15 an hour minimum wage, kiss your jobs goodbye. A lot of people are going to lose their jobs.
Yeah, because the employers can't afford that for menial tasks. I mean, you're going to have a burger flipping person getting $15 an hour.
It's crazy.
Those are supposed to be entry level jobs. They're not supposed to be a career.
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
You know, and you're going to see the economy go right back to the stagnation of the Obama-Biden regime.
Right.
You know, you're not going to be able to tell a difference, and the reason for that is Obama's pulling the strings.
Not only that, if you look at the people Biden has put into his cabinet, they're all Obama holdovers.
Yeah, well, you know, the
people, you don't realize, and they had the proof that this was a stolen election. The proof is there, but the liberal courts denied it all.
Well, and so did the RNC.
Well, and I was getting to them next.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this is a concerted effort. They can't stand to see somebody from outside the Beltway actually be successful and keep their promises. They can't stand it.
Well, you know what? Someone said to me not too long ago, the Democrats always fight dirty, and by fighting dirty, they win. And maybe it's time Republicans grow a set and fight dirty also. You can fight dirty without fighting illegally. There's a difference.
Get in there and start scrapping.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's what it comes to. Folks, this is a great op-ed, and you're going to want to hang on to this one. You're going to want to share it, but you're also going to want to bookmark it, because a year from now, 6 months from now, 3 months from now, whatever the case might be, you're going to want to go back and reread this.
Yeah, okay? I mean, could I put all of Trump's accomplishments?
No.
No, we're held to word constraints, you know, yeah. a certain number of words. But I try to, you know, hit on the highlights, because this is what's going to be compared to what our country is going to be like in 6 months to a year from now.
Right.
And I also predict, Craig, and I kid around and say, I think we should have a little pool here. How long it's going to take before Kamala Harris is president? I say it's under a year.
I think it's going to be right at a year.
Okay.
I'm going to go with right at a year. I think a year from right now, Biden will be a puff of smoke and a whirlwind. He'll be gone.
Yeah. And the only thing I want to say is, you know, the one that really hurts me the most, I never liked him. I've said that since day one, though, is Mike Pence. Because here it is. He professes to be such a religious man, such a devout man. And yet he dug the knife deep into President Trump. And by deep, I mean his not leaving the farewell, I mean, not going to the farewell tomorrow, 4 hours before the inauguration. That is a slap in the face.
I couldn't agree with you more. Folks, the op-ed is compare and contrast the present versus the future. There's two ways you can get your hands on this. You can either go to Diane's blog at thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com. It's right there. Or go to rspradio1.com. It's right there on the homepage. Either way you go, grab it, share it, and bookmark it. Because a few short months down the road, you're going to want to go back and reread this.
Yes.
I'm just saying, you know. But get it out there. Help share it. Get it out there as much as you can. I know. Facebook, Twitter, social media, I know. But do your best.
Mm-hmm.
It's all we can ask, you know.
Yes.
Great op-ed, really. I mean, thanks. Like I said, you're not going to get the Sunshine Award.
No, you know, this, I'm getting the Doom and Gloom Award.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what.
And you're not far behind.
I'm going to give you a tight race on that, folks.
And you know why? Because we tell it like it is. We don't sugarcoat.
That's just it. Now, as I said at the top of the show tonight, I wrote this. I published it on January 13th. I wrote it a couple of days ahead of that. And So much has happened so fast when it comes to the psychosis of liberals since I published this and since I wrote this. I had a feeling when I was doing this in a state of social war that it was going to be prophetic. I had no idea how quickly the prophecy was going to come to fruition.
Oh, come on. We all knew it's coming.
I expected it would start taking place after the inauguration.
Oh, no. You know?
I mean, I really did. I honestly did. I thought, I'm safe with this, you know, for the next couple of weeks. Just get this out there. You know, and let it sink in, and then people start to see things starting to happen, you know. But holy crap.
It went fast.
Yeah, the liberals have not held back on the psychosis. So, folks, coming up just a couple of minutes after the top of the hour break, in a state of social war. With that, we'll get the top of the hour going here, and we'll be back with more Right Side Patriots. After this.
OTC is go.
Pegasus is go.
PTC is go.
Copy, this is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
3, 2, 1.
Right Side Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor, Tuesday night edition of the show. Welcome to it. The night before the beginning of the end.
Yeah, there's no other way to really put it.
I mean, that pretty well sums it up, don't you think?
Yes.
Okay, so I put this segment together. Before we get into this, I just want to let you folks know. You want to just hear us through this final segment of the show tonight, because we're going to leave a little bit of time at the end for first Diane and then me to give our final thoughts on the Trump presidency and President Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I can't think of a better night to do it.
I can't either.
All right, so we're talking about in a state of social war. And while you're upset over President Trump being banned from social media platforms and by Nancy Pelosi and any number of liberal Marxist elected officials combined with swamp rhinos who are joining them, you're missing the point. It's not President Trump they're after. It's you. Over the past week or so, Facebook, Twitter, and others deactivated President Trump's accounts. Earlier in the week, Deutsche Bank, they announced that they will no longer be doing business with President Donald Trump, thus cutting off his financing for any future business deals. If they can do that to a sitting or soon-to-be former president, and they have, they can do it to you. And they will. Sure, there are those out there who will label me a conspiracy theorist for saying that, but it's not conspiracy theory. In fact, it's not a theory of any kind. It's fact. It's already started. After the so-called insurrection at the nation's capital on January 6th, United Airlines reportedly kicked every passenger off one of their flights because those passengers started singing our national anthem. American Airlines reportedly threatened to land one of their flights and remove passengers because those passengers, for an entire 10 seconds, chanted USA, USA, USA. Allentown, Pennsylvania school superintendent Thomas Parker relieved a teacher of his job because he was at the rally in D.C. on January 6th. Mexican Summer record label removed Ariel Pink from its record label following his attendance at a pro-Trump rally outside the White House on January 6th, Libby Andrews, a real estate agent out of Chicago, was fired by App Properties and removed from its website. Rick Saccone, an adjunct professor at St. Vincent College in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, was forced to resign because he was there. Paul Davis, an attorney out of Westlake, Texas-based Goosehead Insurance, was also at the rally, and he, too, has been fired. None of those people I mentioned did anything wrong. There is zero evidence that any one of them participated in any form of unruly or unlawful behavior. Their crime was simply being there, being part of a crowd of hundreds of thousands of people who did nothing wrong, and of which only a tiny handful caused problems. John Eastman, a Chapman University law professor, is now in deep professional trouble after better than 1,400 of his colleagues signed a letter urging the college to fire him because he spoke about the law at that Trump rally. Conspiracy theory, Diane? Any sort of theory, Diane? No, just facts.
You know, take the case of all of us who are Facebook felons, as I like to call it, and I'm probably way up there at the top of the list.
You're their faithful leader.
Yeah, I'm one of the leaders of the Facebook felons. We are censored left and right on a daily basis. We're thrown in Facebook jail. We have our posts taken down. People are not allowed to comment on it. Then there's the ones on Twitter who are being kicked off. And look what happened to Parler. Folks, this is not conspiracy. This is reality of what's happening. And it's only going to get worse.
So how about the thousands of just everyday folks who happen to be conservatives who've been blocked from social media and otherwise chastised? And for what? Their political party affiliation? I'm just scratching the surface of what we've seen over the past week or two, but the handwriting is on the wall. It's going to get worse than you think. How long do you suppose it'll be before neighborhood associations, you know, suburban fascists, deem you unfit for their utopias because you're a registered Republican? How long before banks in the new banana republic of America start refusing loans to those whose social media accounts express conservative leanings? Will conservatives be allowed to enroll their preschoolers to get a head start on their educations? Will institutions of higher indoctrination begin to decline the applications of those who tend to think for themselves, as is the hallmark of conservatives? Will your potential future employers base their hiring not on your job qualifications, but on your political tendencies? President Trump, on January 6, 2021, spoke his mind at a rally in Washington, D.C. He did not urge anyone to riot. He did not fund any riots. He did not incite anything. If he had done what the propagandists and the media say he did, they would be showing it 24/7 on their news programs, but they're not. And the reason they're not doing that is because he never said or even intoned what they accuse him of. But Pelosi and her merry band of Marxists, drunk with power, hauled President Trump before yet another kangaroo court of impeachment anyway. If they can do that to a sitting president, and they are, they will want to do it to you. And I suspect they soon will. How much longer do you suppose it will be before saying the Pledge of Allegiance is considered a hate crime? How many more times will you be allowed to sing God Bless America before you're indicted for inciting an insurrection? At what point in the near future will displaying the American flag be deemed a violation of somebody else's civil rights? Oh, you can burn the flag. That's not only protected speech, but encouraged by liberals. But fly an American flag? Get ready. It's coming. And they're coming for you. Beat up old women or people in wheelchairs. Light a federal building or a courthouse on fire. Burn people's businesses to the ground after looting everything inside them. Firebomb the police and lay waste to entire cities and their economies for months on end. And that's just fine so long as you adhere to the Marxist agenda. Hell, they'll even see to it that you get bailed out and have any charges against you dropped. But, Diane, even as I write this, the FBI is pouring through photos and videos using facial recognition software to identify as many people as possible who were in D.C. on January 6th for the purpose of prosecution to the fullest extent of the law.
Well, there's also a quite unsettling analogy of what happened in May in cities like Portland and others and what's going on now.
Well, you're right. I mean, what we've seen in this country since the end of May in places like Portland, Chicago, L.A., Minneapolis, just about any blue city you care to name, was sanctioned, championed, and paid for by the exact same people now accusing President Trump and you of insurrection. Earlier this week, Verizon and other corporations said they will cease donations to any candidate who objected to the election results. They certainly made no such statement when liberals objected to election results when Bush 43 won in 2000 or Trump in 2016 won. Insurer, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Marriott International, along with Dow and Morgan Stanley, have ceased political donations, not to those who financed and cheered riots all over the country for most of the year 2020, but just to those who wanted to challenge the election results. American Express and others have also joined that list, and more are sure to follow. In fact, today, Bed Bath & Beyond, Kohl's, and a couple other places pulled MyPillow products off their shelves.
Right.
Why? Because Mike backed Trump. Listen.
Right.
On Thursday, January 7th, 2021, Forbes magazine's chief content officer, a guy by the name of Randall Lane, cited Kayleigh McEnany, Kellyanne Conway, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and others who have worked in the Trump administration over the past 4 years and issued a warning against hiring any of them. Lane said in his op-ed, quote, "Let it be known to the business world, hire any of Trump's fellow fabulists above, and Forbes will assume that everything your company or firm talks about is a lie," unquote. They're doing that to those who worked under certain elected officials. How much longer before they start cracking down on the people who elected those officials? Make no mistake, what they're doing to President Trump is nothing compared to what they intend to do to you, and everything they're doing right now is intended as a warning shot across your bow. Let me spell this out for you as clearly as I know how. Liberals are at war with conservatives, but it's not a civil war that so many predicted. This is a social war, and the liberal Marxists are using their proxy armies, the social media, the mainstream media, big business elites, corporations that need government protections to fight it for them. Their intent is to demonize any and all who don't toe the line and bow to the Marxist agenda. If you continue to pursue a conservative bent, they will ostracize you, ban you, cancel you, and turn you into a social pariah. If you still won't cave, they will then destroy you financially by rendering you incapable of finding gainful employment, stopping you from engaging in business deals, and crush you by taking away your ability to borrow or even pay your mortgage. Their strong-arm tactics will be backed by threats of indictments, arrest, prosecution, and the possibility of jail carried out by their tyrannical system of social justice and the swamp-dwelling thugs of the same ilk of FBI that engaged in lying and spying against President Trump 4 years ago. When stronger measures are needed to keep us all in line, the Marxists have the ilk of Antifa, the BLM, and assorted anarchists like the QAnon sorts on standby. And we all know what they're capable of, don't we? And let us not forget the tyranny of the IRS under the Obama regime. Trust me, when it comes to organized government crime, the IRS becomes a major part of the issue. They, the Marxist liberals, have planned this carefully. They have their own get-out-of-jail-free card, too. They aren't doing it to you. The government isn't doing it to you. Private industry, private companies, private entities are doing it. And the protections you think you have for the rights spelled out in our founding documents only apply to controlling the government. They will buy back their black vote and the black voting bloc through providing reparations for slavery. And if you happen to be a major corporate player who seeks or needs the status or protection of the ruling class, you will have to play ball with the liberal Marxists. But remember, as the government giveth, the government can also taketh away. One key to a social war is convincing neighbors to spy and inform on neighbors to stay in the good graces of the ruling class. COVID mandates have been the dry run for that. We're at war, social war, and it sounds pretty bleak. Because it is. But it's not impossible to overcome. In my next commentary, I'll be outlining what we as conservatives must do to take this country back. So, stay tuned for next week.
Basically, what the Democrats are going to do is create what's going on in Venezuela, what happened in Cuba. That's what we're going to become. Now, we can fight back. There might very well, Craig, be a second American Revolution on the horizon.
Don't give away what I'm going to put together.
I don't know what you're putting together.
I know. I'm just firing a flare. Look, here's the thing, folks. You know, I wrote this before Parler was taken down. I wrote this before the whole thing with Mike from the MyPillow guy.
Oh, Mike Lindell.
I all this stuff that we're seeing over the past week to 10 days, I wrote this before all of that happened, and I pretty well spelled it out. I mean, this is abject insanity. This is psychosis.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's staggering to me how quickly it's all falling apart. But we're not completely powerless in this. And no, I'm putting together a piece for next week where I'm going to spell out some of the things that we will have to do over the next 4 years to rectify this situation.
It could be. I mean, as simple as there's actually two United States of Americas.
It may come to that.
It very well may come to that. And I think Governor Abbott from Texas, he made some statements about turning Texas into a sanctuary state for gun owners.
Well, and, you know, Texas also made some waves a couple of months ago talking about seceding.
Right. And I got news for you. My state of Florida, Ron DeSantis, he'll be right there with them.
You know, I mean, I'll tell you, unity? The whole Biden thing is unity? The theme of his inauguration tomorrow is unity? My ass.
Yeah. Yeah, where was his unity? Where, you know, when American cities were being burnt to the ground, when business people were being forced out of business if they didn't go along with the Antifas and the BLMs and the QAnons, they torched their businesses. Where was the outrage then? Where was the unity then? There was nothing. In fact, the Democrats egged it on.
They paid for it. They egged it on. They provoked it. They bailed people out.
Yep. And Kamala Harris had her big mouth right in the middle of all of it.
Absolutely. Pelosi, Harris, AOC, all of them. Right. Maxine Waters, all of them.
Right.
You know, it was Kamala Harris. Her campaign was raising money to bail out BLM and Antifa people who had been arrested for burning, arson, looting, and assaults.
Yes. Yeah. And these are the people that over 80 million people in this country voted for. I don't believe it. I never will believe it.
I common sense tells you it didn't happen that way.
No, the numbers don't add up.
Common sense, you know. The title on this commentary, folks, is In a State of Social War. You can either go to thenationalpatriot.com, pick it up there, or rspradio1.com and pick it up from there. Either way, same as with Diane's op-ed, what you want to do is grab it, share it, and bookmark it, because just like hers, you're going to want to go back in about 6 months and reread this one, too.
Yeah.
I mean, the handwriting is on the wall. You don't have to be Nostradamus to figure out what comes next. You know, you just got to look at this with an air of common sense and with an eye toward history, world history. We can right. see what's coming.
Absolutely.
You know, but like I said at the beginning of the segment, we wanted to save off a few minutes here at the end of tonight's show. We want to give you our final impressions, not only of the Trump presidency, but of the man himself. And yes. because we are, you know, in the last few hours of President Trump's term, it seems like a good time to do this. So, Diane, tell us what you're thinking.
Okay. And none of this is prepared, folks. I want to thank President Trump for his bravery, for his honor, for his steadfast loyalty to this country. He served under a shadow of hate. The Democrats hated him. They tried to make his presidency fall. They tried to make his life miserable. And yet he stood strong for we the people. I want to thank Melania Trump for being a classy first lady, for bringing regality and class back to the White House. I want to thank his administration, the ones loyal to him, for trying to help our country. I think the things that President Trump will be most remembered for are his economic successes and the fact that he started peace in the Middle East. He was a great president, the greatest since Ronald Reagan. I wish him the best, and I personally hope that he does come back in 2024. Because this country needs him desperately. He is a populist president. He is a president, the people's president, if you want to put it in simpler terms. He loves this country like Reagan did. And that shows through in everything that he did. Unfortunately, evil does walk among us. And the evil is Democrats. So I wish him Godspeed. It's great to have him back here in his new home state of Florida. And I'm just very upset about this. I really am. This was stolen and they will get payback for it, is all I can say. And just thank you, President Trump. You were wonderful. That's it.
that's pretty good. It's hard to follow. Mr. President, I wasn't on board early, not during the campaign, not until it was obvious that you were going to get the nomination in 2016, but with a little bit of trepidation, I said, I'm in. I'm all in. And it didn't take very long to find out that I should have gotten on the train a lot earlier. For 4 years, I watched you do what all creatures of the swamp said could not be done.
Mm-hmm.
I watched you move our embassy to Jerusalem. I saw you parlay that into stability in the Middle East. I saw you, without a magic wand, but with just common sense, bring our economy, our GDP, our employment stats, our businesses up. I saw you reignite an economy that had stagnated for 8 years. I saw you make trade deals. I saw you make deals with NATO that put them on the path to their own self-sufficiency, making them responsible for some of their own costs. I saw you tell the United Nations to shove it. All the while, not only having to fight the forces of liberalism, socialism, and Marxism, but also having to fight against certain members of your own party. You deserved a lot better. A lot better. I watched you make people believe in themselves, and I watched you make a country proud of itself. I watched you make people feel better about this country. Not only people that live here, but people around the world, because you knew that a strong America was good for the entire world, not just for Americans. I know there are people out there tonight who are holding out some phantom hope that there is something up the president's sleeve tonight, and that somehow they'll wake up tomorrow and this will be a completed Hail Mary pass, and that the inauguration of Joe Biden will not take place tomorrow. It's a fantasy. It's not going to happen.
True.
President Trump will be going home to Florida tomorrow. Joe Biden will hold a place in the White House for Kamala Harris for Obama's third term. President Trump is not the be-all, end-all answer to our conservative apprehensions. And there's a reason for that, because you see, folks, President Trump knows, he knows that no one person can do what needs to be done. He knows that the true power in America, the true power to change things, the true power to make America great again, lies in the people, not just in him. And I have every confidence that in the months and years to come, we will hear more and more of President Trump. But it won't be that we have to pin all our hopes on him saving us. He is going to give us the confidence to save ourselves. And that's what we have to look forward to now. But for now, to the president, to the first lady, to the entire first family, to those like Jim Jordan and Nikki Haley and Trey Gowdy and so many others that so steadfastly stood up for the people of this country, from the bottom of my heart, thank you and God bless you. That's all I've got. It's a tough night.
Yeah.
You know, it is. It's a tough night. Tomorrow's going to be a tough day. But together, we can get through this. This is America, damn it.
Well, we're going to have to fight to keep it that way. And by the way, we're a republic. We are not a democracy. And I think that's part of the problem. People do not realize what this country is. Seriously.
With that, Diane, I think it's time you and I said goodnight.
Good night, guys.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you Friday.